Good morning, brothers and sisters. In our gospel today, Jesus is trying to teach us one important lesson, and he says it very clearly, that no prophet is accepted in his own native place. No prophet is accepted in his own native place. To understand this, we first have to remember what a prophet is. A prophet isn't merely someone who speaks about future events. They certainly do that. But a prophet, in essence, is a teacher of truth. So anyone who teaches the truth, the word of God, is a prophet. And the reason it's prophetic in the futuristic sense is because God is true yesterday, today, and forever. So truth today is going to be truth tomorrow. So it seems futuristic. But our Lord is saying that prophets or teachers of the word of God are not accepted in their own native place. He clearly struggled with this when he went home to preach to his own people. And this makes sense. We have another saying that's often repeated: familiarity breeds contempt. The more familiar you are with someone, the more you think you know them, the more you're convinced you understand what they really mean by what they're saying, what their intentions really are. You see this in your families all the time. Husbands and wives, you're notorious for doing this with each other. Parents with children and children with parents. I know what they really mean by what they said. So that familiarity leads to many assumptions, and instead of taking the words that the people are speaking at face value, we disregard the words because we judge the person. And this is exactly why they couldn't hear the truth that Jesus was speaking. He was too familiar to them. They thought that they knew him. We know this because in the beginning of the gospel, it points out that they believed he was the son of Joseph. Now, we know better. We know he's the son of God. We know that Joseph was only his foster father. But they just assumed that this man, Jesus, was like every other man born in their village. He's got an earthly mother and an earthly father. So he's just as fallible as everyone else. And so they have a hard time hearing the word that he speaks to them. It's always easier after the fact, once you realize that Jesus is the Christ, to listen to even the difficult words that he has to say. But one thing that the church points out to us is that Jesus' willingness to be known as the son of Joseph was a great act of humility on his part. It's only much later on that he reveals to his disciples, "I'm actually the son of God. God the Father is my true father. Joseph is only my foster father." The reason he was willing to be known as the son of Joseph was twofold. The first reason was to protect the honor of the Blessed Mother. No one loved Mary like Jesus did. Remember, he chose her of all possible mothers in humanity. He gave her every miraculous grace he could to make her perfect and flawless. But imagine what would happen if he had not provided a husband for Mary to be a foster father for himself. And then Mary went around trying to explain to everybody, no, I'm pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody would have believed her. They would have considered her an adulteress, a fornicator, and our Lord would not have that. So out of love for his mother, he gives her Saint Joseph to be her husband, to protect her honor and her dignity, and also to protect his dignity as a man. But if Jesus was born without an earthly father, we know the word we use, the more vulgar term, to refer to someone who has no father. They would have called Jesus that. So clearly, to protect the incarnation and his holy mother, he chose this man, Saint Joseph. Now, if our Lord took such care of his earthly mother, not only choosing her and providing for her these miraculous graces, he would have also taken great care in choosing which man would serve this very important role for his mother and for himself. And we know the attributes Jesus would have looked for in a man to be the husband of Mary and his foster father. They're fairly obvious. Jesus would have chosen a man who was just like his heavenly Father. I mean, if this is man is going to be his earthly model of fatherhood, this earthly father would have to be a perfect image, at least insofar as that's possible, of the heavenly Father. So Jesus would have looked throughout all of Israel, and once he found that man, he would have provided for him extraordinary graces to make him the best man he could be, the best father possible, in imitation of his divine Father. We know that Mary was immaculately conceived. The grace that she received kept her free from all stain of sin. Joseph was not immaculately conceived. It's believed that the grace bestowed upon him very early on in life kept him from any personal sin. So Joseph, we believe, during his entire life, didn't even commit a venial sin. Now, he was still conceived in sin. He still had original sin like the rest of us. He was still tempted. But God gave him great graces, so he never committed a personal sin. But one of the frustrating things about trying to get to know Saint Joseph better is that we don't have a single thing written down in the scriptures that he ever spoke, not a word. We have a couple of his actions. The Gospels describe a few things that he did that show that he was a very holy and faithful Jewish man. But not a single word of St. Joseph's. And this has been a frustration of the saints for 2,000 years. Why? I mean, imagine, think about this. This man has to be the model of all earthly men, second only to Jesus Christ our Lord. Wouldn't you want to hear some of the things he must have had to say throughout his life? I mean, imagine the lessons he imparted to Jesus as Jesus was being raised up. Those are probably wise and holy lessons. Why aren't they written down? It's not like Jesus forgot them. It's not like Jesus went on and thought, I don't really need St. Joseph. I'm the Son of God. So it's always been a frustration that this great saint, the greatest saint of the church, second only to the Blessed Mother, doesn't have a single word written down that came from his lips. And so recently I've been thinking about this a lot, and something occurred to me I had never considered before. I've never read it in any book. And I think I figured out why Joseph is so silent in the scriptures. In fact, why it is intentional that not a single word he ever spoke was written down. I mean, we can presume that he spoke at some point, probably not a lot. He's probably a very quiet, very reflective man. But the reason we don't have a single word of his written down is because he is the perfect model of God the Father. Think about it for a moment. How many words of God the Father do we have written down in the scriptures? Basically, only one thing that he said on two occasions, and it's the same thing each time. This is my son. That's the only thing we have the Father ever speaking. Now, there's a reason for this. Who is his son? What do we call Jesus? What is it in the first lines of the Gospel of John that explain who Jesus Christ is eternally? John says that our Lord is the Logos. We translate that as the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word of God the Father. So the Father doesn't speak any words other than Son. Anything Jesus says or does is the Word of the Father, because he is the Word of the Father. If you remember the words he spoke to the apostles when they asked to see God the Father, what did he say to them? He got frustrated. And he said, "How long have I been with you? And you still don't know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. In like manner, if you have heard me, you have heard the Father. Everything I say, everything I do, I learned from the Father." So since Jesus is the perfect image of the Father, the word of the Father. Everything he said and everything he did is the word of his Father. So the Father doesn't need to say anything separate than that. He said everything necessary in his Son. And since Joseph has to be the perfect image of God the Father, the same truth applies. It would have been inappropriate for Joseph's words to be written down. It would have been redundant, because Jesus would have simply repeated them throughout everything he said and did. If God the Father is the divine model and example for Jesus Christ, then St. Joseph is the human model and example for the Word. Jesus' own words and his own actions were modeled not just by imitating the Heavenly Father, but his earthly father, St. Joseph. So we do have the words of Joseph. They just come from Jesus' own lips. This is why Joseph is so silent in the Scriptures, for the same reason that God the Father is so silent, because Jesus the Son speaks on their behalf. Now, we know this to be true even in our own lives, in our own families. You parents understand in a real way how your children reflect who you are once they go out into the world. There was an old saying, you know, you carry the family name with you. Don't dishonor that name. Every parent knows, especially at the age of 2 or 3, all of the bad things that they need to stop doing because their child suddenly starts saying all those words and doing all those things. This little human starts imitating them in every detail. And mom and dad are like, I didn't realize I did that. You didn't know yourself very well. This same truth applies even in a holy family, even in God. The Son of God imitates the Father perfectly. The great thing is that the Father is perfect, so it's not a bad imitation. But Jesus also imitates his earthly Father perfectly. Jesus is, in fact, the Word of both his fathers, the divine and the foster father. Now, we know that actions speak louder than words, correct? That's why it's not enough for Jesus to tell us that he loves us. He shows us on the cross. It's not enough for God to simply say that he loves the people of Israel. He sends his Son to prove it. And that has to be true with St. Joseph. Out of all of the wonderful things he must have said to Jesus growing up, must have taught Jesus growing up, it was his actions more than anything that it would have imparted to the Lord such a virtuous life. Now, our Lord was already virtuous, but again, Joseph still modeled that fatherly virtue. And so in reflecting on our readings today, it occurred to me that the love that was revealed through the life of Christ is clearly the love of his Father, God the Father, and even Joseph, his foster father. And St. Paul gives us a description of what love looks like in our second reading today. He gives us a very clear description. Now, we know that God is love. So when you hear this description, you could replace love with God. So you could say God is patient, God is kind. And that's all true. You could also replace it with the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she modeled Jesus Christ. So you could say Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind, Mary is patient, Mary is kind. But I think we forget sometimes that we can also use Joseph in this same reading. Joseph would have modeled love to Jesus in as perfect a manner as he could. And so I want you to listen to the words written down by St. Paul, and consider how holy this man Joseph must have been. Joseph is patient. Joseph is kind. He is not jealous. He is not pompous. Joseph is not inflated. He is not rude. He does not seek his own interests. He is not quick-tempered. He does not brood over injury. Joseph does not rejoice with wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Joseph never fails. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.